Jaguars Digital. Jaguars. Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Ryan Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning and welcome to Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. Ryan Sexton, along with John Osier and Ashlyn Sullivan. See, the sun is up this morning. It's going to be a beautiful day. We've got plenty to talk about. Wasn't such a great outcome yesterday for the Jaguars, who are falling 27-17, but still a nice morning to kick things off for the Jaguars. Heading to Indianapolis this week. So, John, the thing stood out the most to me yesterday was not the Jaguars game, but the league in general. Mm-hmm. So you look up, and at one point you see the Steelers had held the Chiefs, one of the top offenses in football, to 8 yards in the first half. Last night, the New York Giants, that team decimated the week before, losing their best player in Odell Beckham and all their other receivers, apparently. And Olivier Vernon did not play in Denver, and they went out in a week that you didn't expect them to even show and came up with a huge 23-10 win last night. If there are people that are surprised by the outcome of yesterday's game, I can understand why they might be surprised how the Jaguars lost,
sure,
but that the Rams would come across the country and win that ball game based on scores around the NFL, welcome to professional football in 2017.
Well, absolutely, and it's always a week-to-week league, and everybody talks about parity. Everybody talks about, oh, upset special. Can't believe it. Bottom line is, in this league, most teams, the talent level is, or the talent differential is relatively small. So you're never shocked within the context of a given week when there are upsets. You can generally pick what teams are going to be good a percentage of the time, 11-5, 10-6 over the course of a season. But there's going to be weeks like this. And, I wasn't surprised at the outcome of the Jaguars game. I had I said all week, the storyline all week around this team was they need to win at home. They need to win back to back. And it took on a tone of, if they don't do this, there's something wrong. And I never really thought that, because the Rams were coming in. They had just played Seattle to 16-10.
One in Dallas.
They had had three turnovers against Seattle to keep them from scoring more. This was a good team. And to me, this loss doesn't in any way define the season. The season will be defined, I think, by the next five or six games, which to me look like a schedule the Jaguars should be able to negotiate 4-2-ish. If they do that, then I think the first part of the season looks like up and down, set it up for a good run.
Still sitting there with the Texans and Titans,
right,
in the AFC South.
It's all in front of them.
Just a couple more games stand out. How about the Dolphins going into Atlanta? And
well, the
that
shocking
team?
Thing was the comeback in that. I mean, when a good team, which I think Atlanta is a good team, gets a lead at home, the odds go so far against the visiting team coming back if it's struggling. That stood out even more than Pittsburgh and even more than Denver to me. That stood out because Falcons had a lead.
Well, and one more that people might not have seen. How about the New Orleans Saints, a team with a very bad defense, scoring defensive touchdowns and shutting down Matthew Stafford and winning that ball game yesterday? So it just goes on and on and on. Tough for the Jags. They are 3-3 and missed the opportunity in front of the home crowd to set themselves a game ahead. But they're sitting there with the Texans, and I presume the Titans, with Marcus Mariota this evening, has that shot. All right, enough of John and I. Let's bring in the third member of our team here on Drive Time. You all know her, Ashlyn Sullivan. Good morning, Ashlyn.
Good
How are
morning.
You?
How's it going?
It's good. It is very good. We've got a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. So get us started. What's big thing number one?
The first big thing to probably no one's surprise is, how do you fix the special teams issue? Jason Myers misses two crucial field goals last night. Is the solution to cut him and get a new kicker, guys? I mean, how many chances do you give him?
That's what everyone's going to be talking about this morning right out of the gate. So we'll address it, but there's more than just that.
There's a lot more than just that. I didn't think he was the major problem on special teams
yesterday. No, he wasn't the major problem on special teams yesterday. However, he had those two misses, mm-hmm, one at the end of each half. And everyone's going to be pointing to him this morning. Here's the one thing you can absolutely say with certainty is, when he lines up to kick from anywhere beyond about 40 yards, you're wondering,
sure,
well, does he have this one? You wonder about his mental makeup. The leg is absolutely there, But how confident can Doug Marrone be with him this morning?
Well, Doug addressed it late, and he said he was confident enough to send it back out for the 54-yarder. I don't know how much confidence played into it beyond he was going to play that hand at that particular time, meaning once they got within 35 yards-ish, they were going to try to kick and, you know, the whole situation at the end of the game. The case for Jason Myers, he's 11 of 15 on field goals, I believe, with three misses over 50. Two 54-yarders, that's probably at the very outside of what you expect a guy to be consistent on. And from what Joe DeCamillis said early in the season, from what you hear around the league, it's not like there's a bunch of kickers on the street that people feel great about right now. So the easy thing to say is, let's get another guy. Well, you know, from the team's perspective, you go get another guy. Do you trust the other guy more than Myers? I don't know. Does he have as good a leg as Myers? Probably not. I heard criticism last night of, well, if he's such a great kickoff guy, they allowed 103-yarder. Well, he kicked the ball to the right spot and they had that play stopped. The kickoff return wasn't Jason Myers' fault. No. The kickoff return, they had the guy stopped, he did a spin move, and they didn't tackle him. That was ridiculous.
It was right in front of me. I thought he was going out at the 23-yard line.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he was gone down the sideline.
65,000 people.
It was a remarkable play on his part and an unremarkable play on their part. So that's where we get to the bottom of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your special teams are filled out, at the bottom of your roster. So you have a couple of solutions, potentially.
Sure.
You can bring in a slew of guys and try and churn the bottom of the roster and find those guys. Of course, if those guys were available to the Jaguars,
right,
they'd already be here if there was the solution out on the street. The other is, and Doug Marrone said this during training camp, they will put starters on special teams if they need to, is to somehow devise, find, dig special teams guys out of your current roster.
Mm-hmm.
And see if they can't be put in positions to
help. Well, it went across the board, and I understand the kicker has been a long-term worry problem, however you phrase it. Blocked punt for a touchdown, 103-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, and then the one that's sort of gotten lost a little bit, Brad Norman with a 16-yard punt that leads to a 56-yard field goal that wouldn't have happened without the punt. At one point, this team, meaning the Rams, had 10 points, had not picked up a first down. How do you win?
Hey,
whatever you asked about the game, there's no way that those sorts of special teams plays fit into this team's formula to win.
When they took the opening kickoff back, the Jaguars' chances of winning the ball game dipped dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the most current percentages
on this.
You're
not an analyst, but you play one on TV.
Well, yeah, exactly. So you give up a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
You give up one special teams touchdown,
right,
and your chances of winning goes down dramatically, right? Now you give up two.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I mean, it goes into red area in a heartbeat.
Well, you're 27-7. And
17 points.
It's always pointless to play this game, but you're 27-17 score. Well, you gave him 17 points on special teams, so.
And you missed 6 points in field goals.
And you missed 6 points in field goals. So you're at a 23-point turnaround. Even beyond that, the thing that I thought killed early with special teams was this. You know, you've been waiting to get back home. You've been waiting to for this defense to be able to show what it is. And even the offense. In the first quarter, you had what I thought was an incredible adrenaline surge. Defense was playing its butt off. The offense came down, scores two touchdowns, I think on its opening two drives. A 75-yard run, and they made one of the best drives of the year, the four play. Except for special teams, you had all the momentum stuff that you're supposed to get from that enthusiastic, you know, from that crowd, and yet you're 14-10, and not what you probably should have been, which was 14-0, because you didn't get a first down.
Gave him a leg to stand on. Absolutely, it hurt him. All right, back to Ashlyn now. Big thing number two. What you have for us?
Big thing number two: finding the right formula for Leonard Fournette. Guys, when he went down yesterday, you could hear a pin drop at Everbank Field. Everyone was thinking the same thing: please, not him. So, now moving forward, how do you find another option that works offensively? Because, guys, you got to have another option.
Ashlyn, you were on the sidelines yesterday.
I was.
Behind the bench.
Mm-hmm.
When he went down, I saw the knee buckle. Now, it turns out it was the ankle. So, clearly, analyst, yes, John. Not a doctor either, because I'm thinking, uh-oh, that's the knee. What was the reaction from your perspective behind the players?
I mean, the players, no one really paid attention to him, and Dr. Kaplan was right there with him, and Fournette never really made it seem like a big deal. They put a wad of tape on his ankle, and he wanted to go right back out there. So we expected the worst. I don't think it'll be that bad, but it was a scary probably 5 seconds there.
Yeah, at that moment, mm-hmm. when he, because he wasn't hit, and he went down
yeah.
in pain, you're thinking, boy, today was not a good day. It just became a bad day.
It would have been disaster, and... Again, it speaks to all of the talk for 3 or 4 weeks, remember, was, well, they're not running enough. They're not using them enough. They're not doing that. You have to figure out a balance with this guy. He had, what, I think 21 carries yesterday.
Right.
So I don't think balance was an issue yesterday. Yes, you have to find another option. I don't think they have one. I don't know that Chris Ivory – more carries is going to change the dynamic of this offense. Right now, this offense and this team is one-dimensional. It's built to win one way. They have to run. And I don't know if it's going to change, and I don't see it in the passing game. They had yards yesterday in the passing game, but it didn't seem to affect anything, and that's disturbing.
Blake didn't seem bad yesterday, but no. It didn't seem like the offense after those two drives.
Wasn't bad, but they never did anything, and Doug talked about it a little more than he has yet. They've got to figure out ways to get him out of the box. Because the Rams came out with four down linemen, which is unusual for them. It wasn't four down linemen. They also had 8 or 9 in the box, and it seemed like 15.
Well, you've seen the numbers now. So we had the 75-yard run, and outside of that, on 20 carries, he had 55 yards. Mm-hmm. But take the 18-yard run out of there.
Right.
And he really had 19 carries, 37 yards. So the Rams were selling out at all costs. Mm-hmm. They had seen
didn't
the
work early, worked great late.
Absolutely. So the question is, and look, good plays work, bad plays don't. I'm not the play-calling guy. They threw the ball at Chris Ivory 10 times. It got to the point where you knew what was coming. Now, obviously, you know, somewhere in their analysis, they felt like they had to stick with that. I don't know, John. It's the one thing. You've got to find a way, as Doug alluded to. You've got to get guys out of the box somehow, some way. Schematically, it's going to be on this offensive staff to figure out a way, because you can't lose Leonard Fournette and be competitive.
I thought they did a good job early of... On the first drive, mixing things up. You had the reverse to Marquise Lee. The passes. You had the screen pass that worked for a touchdown. Obviously, it worked. They had 4-play, 75-yard drive. Again, I think their game plan going in was to do that early. They had some success. The shame of it is the offensive success they had early didn't translate. Usually when this team gets that kind of offensive success, they're going to put themselves in a position to pull away, because that kind of offensive success early should have gotten them a lead. If they're 2 touchdowns up in that game, 10 points up, all of a sudden they're swarm Jaguars, which is what they were in week
right.
one, week three,
but
and week five.
They could never get there.
They played well enough to get to swarm Jaguars, except the special teams didn't allow them to be that, because the situation in the game was still a tie, and it shouldn't have been.
All right, we're down 2 things on big things, 1 more to come. We'll talk about the AFC South and the Jaguars as contenders or pretenders, plus Ozone Snapshot. More from Ashlyn Sullivan on what looks like it's going to be a beautiful day here on the First Coast. This is Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live, or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Here we go Monday. Jags 3-3, sitting in a first-place tie with the Texans this morning. I would assume Monday Night Football will lay it out. They'll be either the Colts or the Titans will be there as well. And, of course, the Jaguars go to see the Colts next Sunday in Indianapolis. John, I want to follow up on something you just said. The Jaguars never got to swarming defense. Mm-hmm. And you could hear the crowd. They were waiting for it. And at some point, because they didn't see it, there was this thought, the defense is not on today. They're not getting it done. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, Goff, 124 yards, right? 13 points, 3 sacks, a takeaway. Yeah, they gave up some yards on the ground, especially late in the ball game. And Gurley's a tremendous back. You knew it was coming. The defense played pretty darn well. They just didn't do what they did the week before.
I know what the defense will say, because this is a unit that wants to be elite. 24-17, you had a chance to get off the field and get your offense back the ball, and you allowed a drive that was too time-consuming, too game-winning, and the Rams got a field goal out of it. That's disappointing, and that's what they'll focus on. And they allowed the same sort of cutback runs that hurt them against the Jets. And that's an issue, and they need to get it solved. And I think a lot of its linebacker play yesterday looked like it struggled. But again, I think, as was the case after the Jets, I think over time it's going to get okay. This team needs to play with the lead, and it needs to get in situations where it can dominate. And it played well enough in two phases early yesterday to do that. I thought overall, considering the game situation, it was remarkable that the defense held in the second and third quarter enough for this team to stay in the game, as deficient as the offense felt after the first quarter. I don't know if that made sense.
No, it did.
Through second and third quarter, there was a stretch there in the second quarter where it really felt like you're hanging on, and where it felt like this is getting away from you fast. It turned into a 10-point lead, I think. But then they got it back, and the defense played well enough to keep them in it, and they just never could get an offensive score, an offensive burst. And the troubling thing is you sort of knew they weren't going to. You never felt like that was about to happen, and I don't know where that gets fixed.
Back to big things now, and this is it's probably the biggest of the big things, Ashlyn, isn't it?
Definitely. And you're looking at the whole season here. Are the Jaguars division contenders or just pretenders? After last game, you're looking probably at an 8-8 football team at the rate they're going. So can they compete with the Titans for the AFC South with their special teams issues, the lack of offensive movement with the throwing game, and just the general inconsistency this team faces?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I go with the Titans, obviously, because with Marcus Mariota at quarterback, he's the most dependable of the quarterbacks in the AFC South. So contender or pretender in the division?
Contender.
Okay.
Because of this. And it all goes on how well the Jaguars play. And obviously it goes on. But when this team plays without mistakes on the offense and special teams, it has a chance. In the three games that it's lost, too many mistakes against Tennessee put you in unmanageable situations and you lost the game. Against the Jets, touch a guy down, you probably win the game. Yesterday, 17 points on special teams. I don't know how you explain that. So,
well, that's the genesis of the question.
Right.
All of a sudden now, we knew that the offense was limited
right.
in its passing approach to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, do you have to worry about special teams? Or do you say that's an anomaly? You've got Joe DeCamillis, one of the best special teams coordinators. They'll figure something out. They won't have that level of
mistake. Well, if it ain't an outlier, you're finishing you're not finishing 500.
There's no doubt. That,
right.
I don't want to say it absolutely is the anomaly, because special teams have been okay, but they haven't been dominant. But if it's not, you're in trouble. Is that a flaw, or was that an anomaly is the question?
I've got to think it's an outlier, because generally speaking, this has not been a special teams that has looked like that this year.
Right.
So
it's one of those games. It's like the Patriots a couple of years ago getting their doors blown off in Kansas City where everything went bad.
Right.
And then they go on and they win the Super Bowl.
Right.
You have those moments where you think, boy, it's all over here. And then
I think the reason it's a contender is I don't think anybody's going to pull away in this division.
Okay.
I still don't see the Texans. I get that Deshaun Watson's playing well.
Yeah, they've got major issues though on defense.
Yeah, time will tell where they can pull away. The Titans,
I don't think they can pull away.
I think any team looks like a pull away team. So it stands to reason the Jaguars defense, when it plays like it has in five of six games this year, it can keep you in it. So I think there's five or six more games on this schedule where you can see week one, week three, week five Jaguars. If you get that, then you're in it the whole way.
So if the Texans and Titans can't pull away, then the question is, can the Jaguars keep pace? That's it. Can you find a way to keep pace, to not fall back?
If you don't hurt yourself on offense and on special teams, then yes. And by hurt yourself, I mean, I don't think they have to have 250 yards from Blake Bortles passing. I think they have to have mistake-free on offense, not kill you, and you can't give up plays in special teams. That's supposed to be doable.
Should be. We'll find out if they can get it fixed this week when the Jags go to take the Indianapolis Colts on at Lucas Oil Stadium up in Indy. We're back. Ozone Snapshot is next, folks, here on Jags Drive Time with Ashlyn Sullivan and John Osier on a Monday morning.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit Jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time. Starting off this Ozone Snapshot this Monday morning with a statement from Benji from California. John, this defense is not good enough to handle both offense and special teams.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, want to play defense.
It can't do both. I think the defense is good enough where if it gets a good game from one of the other two units, then all of a sudden you've won two out of the three battles and you can win. I think you can count on this defense to win and be very, very good most weeks. It's been that 5.5 out of the six games. So I think it's proven it's a defense you can count on. It even got a turnover yesterday. It did the things. It got big sacks early, Calais Campbell twice. It kept you in it. But it can't have deficiency in both of the other areas. And I thought there were times the offense was deficient. You know, it wasn't a horrible game from the offense, but it didn't do enough. And it certainly can't overcome 17 points on special teams.
You know, and
it ain't built that way.
No, and the defense has been remarkably healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, you haven't even seen guys on the injury report.
Right.
I mean, here and there, a little bit, but everyone's on the field. This is that group.
Yep.
These guys are going to wear down if they have to do everything. And if you know, there are certain guys you can't.
Guess what?
If Calais Campbell leaves.
They got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't mean to be snide about it, but they had it. Right now, they can't wear down. They can't do everything. So that's a danger area, but it can't happen.
All right. Ashlyn?
All the way, David from Maine. Is there any chance the Jaguars consider starting Chad Henne or adding another quarterback to see if this offense can be more productive in the air? We're back with these quarterback questions, John.
Nope. Was that not answered?
Yeah.
I thought it was answered in the Carolina game.
Right.
Completely.
Right. It's not happening. I mean, a thing that hurt yesterday was the Rams' front did a very good job of preventing Blake from scrambling when he got in trouble. Right now, Blake is one read, two reads. If it ain't there, go. That didn't work as well yesterday because the Rams' edge guys, on first glance, it looked like they were able to get some contain and stop him from getting. He had been getting 6 or 7 yards in some of the situations, and they clamped down from the outside, it looked like. Blake's pocket stuff yesterday wasn't great. He had two fumbles. They got kind of lucky that those didn't bite him. But, you know, they're not going to change. They feel like his mobility, his strength in the pocket was one reason that they'd only allowed 5 sacks going in. 5 sacks too many, won't be happy with that yesterday.
Well, and people forget, Robert Quinn a couple years ago, had 19 and a half sacks. He's a tremendous guy on the outside. Obviously, everyone knows the name Aaron Donald. I thought I had not seen Alec Ogletree play in person.
Good play.
And Mark Barron, the former safety from the Bucs, who they converted to linebacker. Give Wade Phillips a ton of credit. He took a defense and tightened them up, and they had a great game plan for the
this
Jaguars.
This is a good team that matches up well against the Jaguars. I mean, it's sort of the same team going back and forth. And I thought yesterday the Rams did things in the second and third quarter smartly to pull away.
All right, Ashlyn, what else from Ozone Snapshot?
Final one, Jeff from Jacksonville. Okay, maybe it's time to get back to reality. No more playoff talks until they can get a better quarterback next year, John.
Yeah, I don't agree. I mean, it's yes, I think at this point, quarterback's going to be a topic in the offseason. But at 3-3, when you're tied for first and you already have a victory over the team that everybody sort of thinks is getting hot in the Texans, this is wide open. You know, the sky's falling today because you lost. But they're going to Indy. Do you expect to win in Indy?
I do.
So you're 4-3 going into the bye.
Right. And then you have two home games.
They have two home games. They have the Bengals. You expect them to beat the Bengals?
Perhaps. That one is a matchup issue as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
But we'll see. Yeah, I mean, their defense is playing well, and they've got A.J.
Right.
Green.
They still have the Colts. They still have, you know. Yeah. So I think in mid-November, we're going to be sitting here, and Ashton's going to be saying playoff talk.
So we've got a lot coming up on the website today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Doug Marone was mic'd up. That'll be up. Sounds of the game will be up later in the day. Yeah, I probably will too. Some really good stuff here on the website. Also tonight, Jaguars All Access, 7 o'clock on CBS 47 here in Jacksonville. Aaron Colvin, who played a pretty good game yesterday, very good game the week before, will be with us as well. Lots of things for you to look for from John. Zone Blitz coming up with Ashlyn a little bit later in the day, inside a minute on Wednesday and Thursday. So we'll have it as the Jaguars go through today and turn their attention to the Colts. Plenty to talk about. And of course, Jags Drive Time is Friday morning at 8:30. Doug Marone will be here, Ashlyn and John as well. So folks, hopefully you're getting into this rhythm with us on Monday and Friday mornings. We're enjoying it. And well, just quite honestly, as John likes to say, we're doing a really good job. So you're going to want to tune in and hear that. So on behalf of John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato, who is as good as he could possibly be on a Monday morning, and of course, Patrick Kavanaugh. This is Jags Drive Time from Everbank Field. Have a great day, everybody.